That's about the only thing I know, amen, is the Lord, he's faithful and he'll save, amen. Amen, I appreciate that. Well, we got another Burrell, amen. So Grandpa Burrell is preaching tonight. I just thought I wanted to hear Brother Stephen. I thought, well, Brother Stephen might want to hear Dad preach. So I'd like to hear Brother Dwayne preach. So you come on, Brother. Grandpa Burrell. You going with Grandpa, Paul?
Whatever they call me, I'll come. Whatever they call me, I'll come. Yeah. I picked names, but Lori didn't like it. I was going to go with Pop and Moo Moo, and she just hasn't sunk in yet for her. I'm good with it. But anyway, the older we get, we wear things like Moo Moos and trousers and everything else that's loose and comfortable. Amen. And especially after you eat a bunch of Mexican food that afternoon. I went home, the food was so good it knocked me out for a half hour. But Russell, I'm glad the plans changed wherever he's at. I'm glad the plans changed. Song was fitting tonight. Tonight I want to look at some things about in the Bible about for us to remember. I'm going to be reading in Ephesians chapter 2. You can be turning there. I'll be looking in Ephesians 2, and I'm going to be looking a little bit in Psalm 103 tonight. We're titled the message. It'll be, you know, Remember and Forget Not. That'll be the title of the message, Remember and Forget Not. You know, our minds and our fleshly minds and bodies have a remarkable ability to forget. And those of us that are getting a little bit older, the more we know, the more we forget. And so I used to tell guys that work on the crew with me, I've forgotten more than you know about building a house, because they'd come out there, you know, I bought a square, I bought a hammer, and I'm an expert carpenter, builder, extraordinaire, and best thing since sliced bread. And I'd tell them, you know, I've forgotten more than, and now it's the truth. I've forgotten, you know, I'm having to look it up in books and everything else. And but there are some things I remember. I remember when riding a bicycle without a helmet was safe, and it was dangerous to talk back to Mom and Dad. I remember that. I remember cars that you just stand up in the back seat and ride down the road while you're going down the road, and just a lot of things I remember. I know some of you remember when gas was nearly nothing, and I know that I remember when gas was definitely under a dollar. You know, 50 cents, 60 cents, 70 cents, whatever a gallon. And I think it's running neck and neck with milk now. I'm not sure. But I've had a few of these things. Keep one of them in your car just in case you run out. And that vessel will come in handy. But Stephen reminded us that we are just vessels. And tonight, I, for whatever reason, you know, I think God puts together things perfectly. That, you know, we would be reminded tonight of some things and remember some things. I remember my salvation, that's something that sticks out in my life. You know, if you look at a timeline of study in the Scriptures, a timeline, you know, dates went backwards until a certain child was born in Bethlehem, okay? History, when you look at history, the dates went backwards. Why? Man sinned, everything was backwards, everything's wrong. But when a little child was born in Bethlehem, you had a ground zero. And when he was born, that was the first year of our Lord. Well, that marks history. That marks time. That's something to remember. And there's something else that marks history and marks time is a cross. Whatever happened before the cross and whatever happened after the cross. See, the most important, one of the most important judgments that took place in all of time and will be in all of time is man's sin. Our sin was judged on a cross in the body of Jesus Christ. And tonight, if we remember anything, I'd like for us to remember Gethsemane. I'd like for us to remember Golgotha. I'd like us to remember the grave. I'd like for us to remember the gospel and all that comes with it. And so tonight, Russell, I'm glad that plans changed because that song goes real well with the message. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. And forget not His benefits. There's things that I'm going to be talking about tonight that go right along with that song. And I remember What sticks out? Boy, I tell you, look at that timeline. You look at history and that cross stands out. It sticks out. A lot of people see it and they know it's there. And, you know, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that important date and time in history. But a lot of people are missing it. They're missing it. 1981. I'd like to say tonight, I'd like to, you know, remember some people. I'd like to remember my mother. And I thank God for her. Amen. That she said, we're having revival at Back to Bethel, son. Get a haircut. I love you and I want you to come. And don't set this one out. And I know a lot of praying went on behind the scenes so that somehow God moved me to do what I was supposed to do. I was getting to be a teenager, you know, and knew everything. And I thought I knew more, and my mom had forgotten more than I had ever known. But Percy Ray got up. I thank God for preachers that have been faithful to preach God's Word. And I went to that meeting. Boy, people were screaming, hooping and hollering. And Percy Ray just, I mean, you ever heard his voice. It's just gravelly because he preached all the time. And boy, he laid it out there. And the message was, there go the ships. There go the ships. I was in Texas. And I have a tape of it somewhere. And of the message and of the service. Mama bought it for me. After I got saved, and she said, here, keep this with you. It'll mean something to you. And Stephen called me from West Coast and said, Dad, I was looking at a website called Old Paths. And got on there, and he said, Dad, look it up. It's August 1981. And I plugged into that thing, and I turned that thing on the computer. Percy Ray got up and started preaching. It was like I was there again. I closed the door of that bedroom. And I thank God for all of His benefits. You know, when you get saved, boy, that's the beginning of God's benefits in your life. The gospel of the grace of God brings forth fruit in your life. It's like a large basket that cannot. It's like the woman's vessel of oil that does not run dry. You say, how do you know that? Well, you know, a young lady played a violin this morning. That's some of that fruit of the gospel that's in Brother Cofty's family. Amen. You and I enjoy some of that. Amen. God's good. But I remember some things. I remember some good things, and I remember some bad things that marked my life. But tonight I want to remember the Lord. And I want to remember some things. If you will, Ephesians chapter number 2. And let's take and look here in verse number 1. If you can stand, if you can and you will, let's stand tonight. And I want to read the first 13 verses of this chapter. And while I'm reading it, you know, Paul takes us from the beginning. He's talking to these believers. And he tells us how we were quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he takes us through a little history. And he tells us some things about, you know, how that God's done some things in our lives, what we were. And then he tells us in verse number 11 to remember. As we read, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the riches of your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your great love with wherewith you loved us. That's unlovable. Father, I thank you for commending your love toward me. And that while I was yet a sinner, you sent your Son to die for me. And I pray here tonight, Lord, that we will remember who we were, what we were, where we were. And Lord, I just pray that you'll show us where we are now. And Lord, you'll just remind us. Lord, take us down the memory path of memory there. Lord, I pray that it'll somehow stir our hearts up and our minds by way of remembrance. And Lord, we'll bless you. Tonight, I pray that you'll, if there's someone here that's lost, I pray that you'll deal with their hearts about their soul's salvation. I pray tonight will be the night that they come to you and receive you as their Savior. And Lord, for us that are saved, Lord, stir our hearts and help us see you once again, fresh and anew. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I look in this passage and I see some things here in Ephesians that mean a lot to me. And as I was looking at them, you know, and as I was going over it, I asked God to just take me back and let me see once again. Walk me back through some of the places and times in my life. And remind me what he's done for me. And I hope tonight he'll do the same for you. You know, we live in a society that, boy, we're in a hurry to get to the next thing, get to the next thing. You know, we don't learn from history because we don't look back. We run headlong into a problem and we forget. You know, Israel was easy to forget. The Bible said in Psalm 106 that they soon forgot the Lord. You know, God did a great work in Israel back there in Egypt. He did a great work. He brought them out with a mighty arm and a powerful work done there in Egypt. No one would ever thought that those people could ever be free from Egypt and from Pharaoh's grasp. No one. But God did it. God did it. And boy, I tell you, when they were standing on the other side of the Red Sea and it closed up on the Egyptian army, boy, they sang praises to God for what He had just done in their lives and His great power and strength to deliver them. But you know, it wasn't very far later that they said the waters are bitter. The new wore off. Boy, we need sweeter waters, Lord. Boy, they got a rock that followed them, which was Christ. And they drank from a deep well. They sure did. Didn't have to worry about water anymore. Took care of the water problem. Then God gave them manna from heaven. And that, the new wore off of that. They soon forgot. They were eating food that the host of heaven eats. They said, we got to have meat. We need something better, Lord. And then they got a little farther out and they realized, this God, He's all right, but where's this Moses at? He's up on the mountain with God. Well, we need a God. We've been in a culture for 430 years that they have many gods. So this God's not talking directly to us, and Moses, he's back and forth. We need a God now. They forgot God. How do you that quickly forget? It's this flesh. What it is right here. We forget. I mean, if you ever want to forget something, just write it down. It'll get stuck underneath something. You say, yeah, I put it in my phone. You'll delete it. Whatever. You'll forget it. God wasn't good enough. God's order wasn't good enough. Levitical priesthood wasn't good enough. And the new wore off. And they forgot God. They forgot His benefits. They forgot His power to redeem. Paul says, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know, even the disciples, you think, boy, the apostles, the disciples, you know, at least those guys, they should be able. I mean, there was a physician. He's good with, you know, medicine. He should be able to remember. You'd think a physician ought to be good with remembering what kind of medicine to give you. You'd hope they would. What about a guy that does taxes, a publican? You know, he's good with numbers. He was so good with numbers, and so, of course, Zacchaeus was really good with numbers. He ripped everybody off. But when he got his heart right, he gave it all back, and some. But you'd think the apostles, the disciples, would remember that Jesus said, after 3 days, I'll rise again. But when it took place, then they remembered. I have a problem with memory. You know, I bring the young people into mind here tonight that are here. We got a good group of young people in this church. From the itty-bitties to the juniors and on-up teenagers and young adults heading into, you know, college and career and some into the early stages of marriage and everything. God says to the young people, say, well, they're young. Boy, they got their mind, they got their faculties, they got everything. They should be. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because there's going to be some hard days coming. There's going to be some evil days coming. When life could be, bitterness can come in. Remember now. Remember. Remember now thy Creator. Tonight here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, wherefore remember. Remember. I ask you tonight, church, do you remember who you were then? I'm talking about to save people tonight. Do you remember who you were then? Do you remember who you were, what you were known for, who you were before Christ came and interrupted your life? Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a baby in Bethlehem and interrupted the world and changed the calendars and the times. And when He died on the cross, He interrupted the world again. And you know, I'm waiting for the next big thing. And the next big thing is not what's coming out of Apple and Microsoft and all these other things. The next big thing is when Jesus comes to get His church. Okay? That's the next big thing. It's not going to be on the news. It's going to take them by surprise. Who were you then? The Bible says that we were Gentiles in the flesh. All we thought about, lived, and walked after was the flesh. We lived after the lust, the Bible says. It says, among whom we all also, we all had our conversation. That's our life. That's how we live. Had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we live for. That's what the world lives for today, is the things of the flesh. Everything's about flesh. We're carnal. We're just natural men, just doing natural things. It comes natural to sin and do those things. We were Gentiles in the flesh. We were children of disobedience. You say, well, I was a good kid, grew up in a somewhat moral home and everything. Bible says Adam disobeyed God. And guess what? All the children of Adam are children of disobedience. Because we were made sinners. Okay? And it's natural for us to disobey. I have not got one child that has completely, fully, totally obeyed me all their lives. And my mother did not have one child. And her mother. Do you understand? Y'all getting the drift of this? We're children of disobedience. So, and we're by nature the children of wrath. You don't believe that? Give two kids one toy and see which one comes out on top. I have to confiscate them from the kids on the bus so they don't bring them into Sunday school, because you know why? They're children of wrath. They're going to fight for that toy. And one of them popped one of them in the lip, and they were related to each other this morning over the toy that they snuck in their pockets. They realize that when I see the big toys coming out the front door, so they got the little toys, they start smuggling. Children of disobedience. Yes, they are. They're real good kids like mine. Amen. Bible says we were strangers, aliens, foreigners from God. Strangers, aliens, foreigners, enemies to God. That's what we were. Do you understand? I'm glad that in all of this that I'm going to say tonight, there was a then and there's a now. And the only reason there's a now is because of Jesus Christ. Because of the mercies of God. Because of the riches of His grace. And the exceeding riches of His grace. There is a now. Okay? There's a past and there's a now. Amen. There's an old man and there's a new man. All those things. I'm thankful for that. You see, who I was then was all these things I've listed. Who I am now, instead of just a Gentile in the flesh, I'm sealed with the Spirit of God. That Holy Spirit of promise. I can walk after the Spirit. I can be led of the Spirit, which I could not do prior to that. I was then a child of disobedience. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of light. I have the ability, because of the grace of God and because of the Spirit of God, that I now can obey God. And I can do good works, but He had to do a work on me to make me able. See, I was created. I'm His workmanship. A man can't do good works until God makes him part of His workmanship and does something to him there. I was by nature a child of wrath. Now, I'm not appointed unto wrath. There is therefore now no condemnation. I want you to be remembering tonight who you were then, who you are now. Not because of what you've done, not because of what I've accomplished, but what Christ has accomplished in us by His grace. I was a stranger, an alien, a foreigner, the Bible says. Now, in the same chapter, He said we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You say household, yeah. You know, when the census comes around, they want to know how many is in your household. You know what household means right there? Family. I'm no longer a foreigner. I'm no longer an enemy. I'm no longer a stranger. I'm no longer an alien. I'm family. To God through Jesus Christ. I'm no longer an enemy. And in this chapter it says that we're reconciled. Jesus is now our peace. I have peace with man. He is our peace between me and man. And He is my peace between me and God. He's the one that brought peace. I can have peace in this direction and I can have peace in this direction. Amen. When I was before an enemy of God. So who were you then and who are you now? Do you remember? What was your condition then? Well, the Bible says here in this passage that we were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, a message like this goes good at Halloween. You know, I see the dead walking, you know. You want to see the dead walking? Go to Walmart. They're dead. Some of them look like Zombieland. I mean, I'm telling you. Whew, they need to get close to Maybelline or something. Some of them. Wow. I saw a fellow over the other day. I was over on the east. I said, what was it? Over toward Granite Quarry. There's a Dollar General there. And I was coming out back there from a little remodel job. And I looked to my left. Sometimes it doesn't pay to even check traffic. You just look that way and you see. And it just happened to be one day that it got up to 70 degrees. And here's this guy Boy, he's got hair like Absalom. I mean, it's just way out there, big hair. And I've drawn, fatter stick men with a number two pencil. And he's got his shirt off. He looked like a chicken that had been plucked. But he was all that. Okay? He was everything. I mean, the women were flocking after him. Yeah, they were chasing him down to beat him with a stick. So anyway, whew, he was, man, I'm telling you. But you know what? People are dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Dead spiritually. No life in me. Not able in myself to have life in myself. There's dead people out here just like I was that think, boy, they're living life. They are really living. A dead man cannot really live. I thought I was living, but my condition was back then dead in trespasses and sins. And when I look at it, but you see, what's my condition now? He said, and you hath he quickened. I've been made alive through the Spirit of God, made alive through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says also in verse number 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. If you're tonight outside of Christ, you have not received Christ as your Savior, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You are alive physically, but you are dead spiritually. The Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The dead. That was my condition. Dead. Dead's dead. I don't care what you call it. It's dead. But you know what? My condition now is alive. Verses 8 and 9, my condition now is saved. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My condition is alive, saved. Not only that, verse 10, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. God has done a work in my life. He says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God did a work on me when he saved my soul. He did a creative work on me. The Bible says, therefore, if a man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. So you got a new creature. I was an old creature, and by nature, I was a child of wrath. By nature, I'm a new creature. Guess what? There's a new nature. Amen. There's a new nature. Only God gives that. You can't make that up yourself. You can't. You do not have the power to give yourself a new nature. You can give yourself a makeover, but you're just somebody dead with makeup on. That's it. You can turn over a new leaf, and it's a new leaf on a dead person. That's all it is. I'm alive, I'm saved, I'm a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm glad that in the past, there's an old man. I still have the old man, but I have a new man that can fight with the old man. Okay? And stand against the old man. I have an old nature, I have a new nature. There are old things. Do you remember your old things, folks? Do you remember the old things in your past? Do you still desire the old things in your past? And I know that many of us, those old things come back to haunt. Why? Because there's a devil on the loose. Okay? And he wants to get you. If he can use that old thing that's in your life to corrupt the new things that God's given you, he'll do it. He'll do it. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's some new things. There's an old life. You remember your old life, folks. Do you remember that? Bible says that we've been baptized with Him. We've been raised up to walk in newness of life. I have a new life. I don't have a new body. Melvin said I got a great bod. I didn't laugh that night either, Melvin. So I want you to know that. But you know what? I've got a new life. I can walk in newness of life now. My new life is not waiting in heaven. My new life is now. How about yours? Do you have a new life? Can't you live this life? Yes. In your own strength and power? No. In Christ? Yes. I look at this book and I see that I'm a new creature. I'm alive. I'm saved. I'm a new creature. In verse number 13, I'm not far off anymore from God. I am nigh. I'm brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer far away. I'm close to God now. You know, sin separates. Adam and Eve fled. They hid themselves. There was distance put between them and God. And so it is with us. But you know what? I'm close to God. I'm nigh. I'm reconciled to God. I'm family now. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'm glad that God's grace shined in my life. When did all this happen? When did the bad things happen in your life? In time past. The Bible says, remember. In time past. Verse number 2, he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In time past. I'm glad tonight because of Christ I do have a past. You say, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't get into this and I didn't get into that. You're still lost. You're still dead in trespasses and sin. Still a stranger. Still an alien. Still all of the things above. You might not have been a murderer. You might not have been a drunkard. Might not have been an adulterer, fornicator. Might not have been all those things, but you still fit the bill here in this chapter. Okay? Could have been the most innocent child. Didn't do anything wrong, but there you were. Just like the rest of us. You say, I wasn't lumped in with that. Well, it says that we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You say, well, I was a good kid. He had some influence. You don't think, if he did not bypass the Lord Jesus Christ himself, do you think he's going to bypass you? There's children born in this church just recently. Do you think he's going to take a back seat and not approach them? Do you think he's not going to influence them? You got another thing coming. He will. Any soul that comes into this world, he wants to do damage to. And the Bible says over here that the Spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. We all had our conversation in times past. There it is again, another time in this chapter. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There we are. We're all lumped together. You say, no, I wasn't. Yes, you were. You're part of it just like the rest of us. All this in time past. I'm thankful that because of the grace, there was a then and there's a now. The Bible says over here in verse number 4, I like it when God interrupts your life. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. But God. He interrupted. Jesus Christ interrupted this world with His birth. He really interrupted this world when the sin of the whole world was judged in His body on that cross. He interrupted this world. He was hated. You know why? Because the sin of the whole world was brought to light and made manifest. That was our sin, all of it, past, present, and future. And that was the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And they hated Him. They hated Him because of it. They still hate Him today. Because He's the Savior. He's the one that judged the sin. Right there. I'm thankful. Verse 13 says, but now, in Christ Jesus, not outside of Christ Jesus, not another way, not in Mohammed, not in Buddha, not in Hare Krishna, not in anybody else, not any king or president or leader, but in Christ Jesus. Outside of Him, there's no life, there's no blessing, there's no quickening, there's no salvation. Do you understand that? Do you remember, Christian, when God made a change in you? From a then to a now. From an old man to a new man. From an old life to a new life. From things that are behind, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth to those things which are before. There's a behind and there's a before. Amen. And it's all in Christ. Friend, here tonight, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, you've not received Him as your Savior. My Bible says that at that time, ye were without Christ. Are you without Christ tonight? You know, we talk about, got milk? Or, you know, when it snows around here, we've got to have milk. We've got to have snow cream sandwiches. Got to have milk. Run to the store, slip and slide, run into other people's cars, get that gallon of milk. Don't want to be without milk. Don't want to be without eggs. Don't want to be without this and that. Are you here tonight without Jesus Christ? Oh, we don't want to be without money. We don't want to be without heat when it's cold. We don't want to be without air conditioning when it's hot. We don't want to be without this and that and comforts of life. But here tonight, is there anyone here that you are without Christ in your heart? Don't leave this place like that. Don't stay in that condition. Jesus stands and knocks at your heart door. You have to open it. Let Him come in. Receive Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the blessings of God begin in you and in your life. There's a then and there's a now. I love it. I love the fact. When? Back then. Where were you? Without Christ. Far off. Without God in the world. I don't know how, my mother used to say, I don't know how people live without the Lord. And I've learned that I can't live without Him. I can't live without Him. There's just no life without Him. He's the one that brought life to me. He's the one that gave me life. He gave me a purpose to live. Do you remember the change He made in your life? We tend to take it for granted that we have benefits from God. Don't let God's mercies and benefits lull us to sleep like it did Israel. We're God's people. We have the temple of God is with us. That's what they said. We're God's chosen people, and they did it proudly. You know what? God said, your Sabbaths are loathsome. I despise your Sabbaths, what they made it into. He said, your sacrifice and feast are not the ones that I appointed. What happened? They forgot. They're risen up in pride. They put more in the vessel than they did in the treasure, as Stephen said this morning. It's all about them, the outward appearance, but there's nothing on the inside. They'd forgotten. Tonight, I hope there's nobody here that's without God. You see, without Christ and without God, there's no hope. You see, not only is Christ our peace, as a mediator between God and men, the Bible says He is our hope. There's people out here in the world looking for hope. They've got foundations set up for hope. And they're hoping they can have hope somehow. But they have no hope because they're dead in trespasses and sins. And they can't be made alive by their efforts. They don't realize that the only hope is in Jesus Christ. The only hope of salvation, the only hope of eternal life, the only hope of heaven is in Jesus Christ. Friend, don't leave here tonight without Jesus Christ in your heart. Please don't do that. He made a mark in my life. And the blessings that He has given so abundantly, I can't count them. They're too many for me. I can't remember all of the things. I can't add them all up that God has done for me in just myself, in my heart, and in my soul over the years. We need to go back to Gethsemane where the Son of God agonized over that cup of sin that He was going to take in Himself and it be judged in Him for us. And there in the judgment hall where they falsely accused Him, there was no fault in Him, but they accused Him. And they found Him somewhat guilty by false accusations. And then they took Him to a place called Calvary, Golgotha, a place of the skull. And they nailed Him on a cross and they fastened it in the ground and they stripped His clothes off of Him. And He hung there in shame. Sin and the fruit of sin produces shame. And He was made sin for us. And He hung there in agony and shame for me. For me. That I could live a life without shame. That I could hold my head up. The Bible says that the first thing He said on the cross was, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. You see, He came to provide that forgiveness for us. When He died on that cross, let us be reminded that when He lift up His eyes, David prophesied in Psalm 16 that He was the Holy One and that His flesh would see no corruption and that His soul would not be left in hell, but He lift up His eyes in hell for you and me. He went to hell for us so that we wouldn't have to. We need to remember some things. We need to remember the benefits of God. These are benefits. Today in the world we live in, we think the companies we work for owe us benefits. Benefit is an act of kindness. It's on top of everything else. We don't deserve it. I didn't deserve living in a house with a mom that said, come to church, be in church, dress up, no cussing. I didn't deserve growing up in a home with a Christian mother. I didn't deserve the Christian things that were around me. I didn't deserve growing up in a church. Some of you, you've been born in church and all you've known is church. And you're young and you've grown up in a church. You don't deserve that. It's a benefit. It's a benefit. It's because of God's mercies. And because of His exceeding riches of His grace that we get some things in our lives. It's that riches of His grace that while I was yet a sinner, He died for me. That's a benefit. We don't deserve it. But He gave it. I didn't deserve what I had surrounding me as a young person. I didn't deserve the preachers in my life. I didn't deserve Gary Blackburn and Jerry Whitehart. I didn't deserve that as a young man, but I got it. I got it. You say, what was it? At the time, I was a bunch of freaks as a lost teenager boy, dead in trespass and sin. But when I got saved, I said, man, I'm not worthy. That crazy nutball mama, she's somebody special. I don't deserve an eighth of the things that I have. I don't. And it's not because of my efforts and accomplishments that I deserve them. It's just the pure grace of God. It's just the pure grace of God. There's children out here that are digging trash out of trash cans to try to eat. I didn't deserve growing up in a home where parents cared that I had three full meals a day. I didn't deserve it. That's a benefit of God. We need to remember some of God's benefits. Turn over to Psalm real quick, and I'm not going to hold you long. I'm going to try not to preach as long as Stephen did this morning. I got to one-up him somehow. He outdid me at the Mexican restaurant. So tonight I got to get back at him. He's definitely a fitness expert because he about fit the whole plate in his mouth, and fork and spoon and all. He did. He's an expert. I stand in awe of his presence at the eating place. But it's good. It's what the Bible says in Psalm 103. Having looked at Ephesians 2 and Paul's call for us to remember in time past who we were, what we were, where we were because of sin, and all that God's done for us. David said in his time, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And here's the list, the beginning of His spiritual benefits. What's the first cry He made from the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." That's where God's benefits are going to crank up in your life. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." I'm glad He didn't say some, most, a few. I'm glad it's all. Brother Melvin, all is all. There's a lot of alls in this chapter here, so I know you'll be marking them. I know you will, brother. All. "He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases." You know what sin's done to you after you get saved, you get forgiven of your sins? He cleans up your life. He heals you from all the faults, failures, funguses, whatever it was that was attached to you when you was a sinner, living in the slums of this world, in the scum. He heals all your diseases. Aren't you glad He's able to put back lives together? Amen. He's able to put things back together that were torn apart and ravaged by sin. Aren't you glad? We're talking about, I think me and Brother Blevins talking this morning about Paul, those men over there in Acts said, these men, they turned the world upside down. No, my world was upside down. Jesus turned it right side up. I'm standing on a solid rock. I'm right side up. I can see straight. I can see clearly. I can hear. Amen. I can see and hear things I couldn't hear and see before. He said, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." If you're here tonight and you're lost, you're self-destructive. It's by nature we're self-destructive. And let me tell you something, Christians in this room that's got aught with your neighbors in this room, you say, "We don't have none of that here at Gospelite. There's never been a church I've been in that didn't have it." Amen. Don't be self-destructive. Don't let your pride, don't let whatever little things you got going on in your life and little things got to be perfect and your little bubble's got to be just right. Nor for you to attend church, nor for you to sit in Sunday school, nor for you to be in part of the activities. Amen. It don't have to be all right by you. It has to be all right by Jesus. Amen. By His Word. You see, He redeemed thy life from destruction, being torn apart. Devil had a big part in that, and we had a big part in that ourselves. And I just love to see the mercy of God in this passage here. You see, some of these benefits are things on top of things that we can't repay. All the things we just said, forgiven all thine iniquities, healed all thy diseases, redeemed thy life from destruction. What more do we need? On top of that, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Man, if that's not icing with a cherry on top and sprinkles on the ice cream and chocolate drizzled all over that, don't lose me, okay? Don't lose me. Don't get a Dairy Queen frame of mind. But you know, ice cream's good, and it's a blessing to have the ice cream. But boy, when you get the sprinkles and the bananas and the chocolate chips and you just keep going with the ooey gooeys. Amen. Till your heart quits beating. You can't get but 3 good beats per minute because everything's all the sludge is pushing through. And the gummies and the whatever else they throw on ice cream. But the ice cream's blessing enough. The Bible says here, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. You know, we're not satisfied today. Paul preaches and says, godliness with contentment is great gain. I was not satisfied before Christ. But in Christ, I do have the ability by the grace of God and the power of God to be satisfied and content. Do you know what? Do you know why the world can't do anything with Christians? They don't know what to do with Christians that are really Christians. You know why? He says, I have nothing, but I have all things. I have all things and I have need of nothing. How do you mess with a guy like that? How do you pay him off? How do you get him on yours? How do you bribe a guy like that? He's poor, he's rich. He's rich, yet he's poor. He doesn't need anything. You can't get to him. He's satisfied. Christians are not satisfied. The pews are too soft. The wood's too hard. We need this different. You know, we need different napkins in the bathroom. We need this. We need that. We need the air up 2 more degrees. We need it down 2 more degrees. We need this. We need never satisfied as Christians. I think we need to go back to Golgotha. I think we need to go back to Gethsemane and walk from Gethsemane to the judgment hall to Golgotha. We need to go to the whipping post and see the Lord there. I think we need to realize the benefits that He paid for us. Jesus was in hell. You know what He said in hell when He lifted up His eyes and they all looked at Him? He said, I'm the one that the prophets told you about and you didn't believe. That's what He told the ones in hell. You know what He told the ones when He went across the great divide over there and He was going to lead captivity captive out of paradise? You know what He told them? I'm the one. I've come to get you. Why are you down here? I came to make a deposit. And I also came to make a withdrawal. He's the one. We need to realize our benefits that we have in God. We think Freightliner owes us benefits. We think the companies we work for here in town owes us benefits. We're owed things that we deserve it. Our government owes us things. No, any job that pays you wages, all they owe you is the money in return for your work. If you got benefits, that's just an added favor. That's just a little extra on top. We think we're do everything. The Bible says here, who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You know what? I'm thankful for what God has done for me, and I'm also thankful for some things He has not done for me. That He has not dealt with me according to my sins and iniquities. And the judgment that I deserve, I'm glad that He has not. And that He will not chide with me and rebuke me constantly. He came to me in love. He didn't come to me with a stick. There was a warning. Oh yes. And there was fear. And there was reverence when the Lord dealt with me at back to Bethel camp meeting. I knew that God was dealing with my heart. And there was some fear there. And there needs to be fear. There needs to be a warning of hell. Tonight, if you're here and you're without Christ and you're outside of Christ, Jesus went to hell for you. But if you don't receive Him, you're going to that hell. You don't have to. I say make a wise choice tonight. Church, I'm closing. Let's remember. I'd say this week, we read Psalm 103, we read Ephesians 2 several times over, in addition to our Bible study. And let's remember and forget not what God's done for us. It'll change our walk with Him. It'll change how we love one another. And it'll change how we reach out to the lost. As the musicians come tonight and get ready to play, I invite you tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you will,